In our study of the Gospel of John, we have found and reminded ourselves he is the last living apostle. He is writing 34 years, 70 AD, the Titus. He's writing 95, 96. And he's looking back, and he has all of the Old Testament with Moses all the way up to the Paul and Peter and Peter and that. And he has all of that to look back on. He has had all the time to develop since 60 and 60 AD and that, where he has just developed and grown as God's servant. And he's going to bring to us his assignment is to bring the wonderful fullness of God. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world is none other than God become flesh. And to bring all of that together for you. So that when you go from Moses all the way through time, till God puts a period and said no more. Now. And so God, you're going to help us understand what? Who I am. I want you to know who I am. And I want you to believe me. I always wanted you to believe, from Adam and Eve all the way down. I expect you to believe and give me due credit that I am who I am. And that's John. That's the whole history and all the Bible. Give God credit for being who he is. Now, and so in the light of that, we shared in the Gospel of John and reminded ourselves that he is able to go and bring joy back to Israel, whether it's in Canaan, etc. He is to be worshipped and honored as the Lord of lords and King of kings, and the temple is to be his place, his house, the sanctuary, to remind ourselves of who God is. It doesn't belong to the people in that sense, it belongs to God. And so he went and turned the temple upside down. He owns it's his place. No one said a boo. Temple police, no one. Didn't touch him. No one touched him. That's amazing. No, it isn't, really. Because he is who he is. And we share together that God was able to handle disease, sickness, suffering, death. God is able to go. He has the exclusive right to be who he is. And thus we found he goes and awakens a Pharisee so that he can learn and grow. Here's all the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes. Here they are. And God awakens and takes a man that's seeking, Nicodemus, goes and takes and awakens the heart of a harlot Samaritan. He awakens the heart of that woman. She had no idea. Dear about God, how to put it together. And God brought her to the place to recognize who he was. He was the Messiah, the Christ, the predicted one, the promised one. And a nobleman, part of Herod's hierarchy, a king, king's position, royalty, as it were, as far as position goes. And he wakened his heart to realize that God really is God. And he awakened the heart of that nobleman by way of his son who needed healing. And now, chapter 5, God is going to go and awaken the nation. The nation is in a hopeless state. They have no good health. They're very unhealthy. And they are powerless to do anything about it. God, step by step, he's building so that you understand who he is and what he can do. Now, so in chapter 5, we shared together last time in verses 1 through 9 that God had a message to bring. God found the man to respond to God. And here's a man, lame, cripple, from his 38 years of his life at least. And God tells him, as you know, in chapter 5, he only makes two sentences to him. Jesus saith unto him, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And all of them are commands. Rise, take up your, roll up your stretcher, your bed, straw, cotton, roll it up and carry it. Walk out. Walk out. Well, he hadn't walked for 38 years. And you know he did it. He did it. He did it. Wow. He didn't go and take any, he didn't know nothing about faith, though God had to move and prepare his body for healing, no question of that. And he just stood up, just like that. You'd have to, you know it, from God. God is so wonderful. There he is. And when he looked at the face of God and listened to God speak, be like at Mount Sinai. I got to tell you, I'd be impressed if I was down in the valley and Mount Sinai and God spoke. I tell you, I'd be impressed. Man, we'd be one sober people, wouldn't we? Wow. Well, God spoke to him. Whoever it is, it came from some wonderful place and you had to do it. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And, without any regard, you've been 38 years without it, without walking. You didn't even take a second to analyze 38 years. On what basis should I get up? You didn't do that, no? And, you can't get to the water at the pool. That's what everyone's there for, to get to the pool when something happens, and maybe you can be one of the first in and get healed. Maybe. You didn't even care about the pool. You didn't even care why you were there. That disappeared. It did. And you know, it was the Sabbath day, and you didn't care. You didn't care. You're a Jew. You didn't care. You were so caught up with what God said, rise, take up thy bed and walk, that you just went. Wow. Wow. Now, having said that, here we are, and it's very, very public. And God didn't pick someone that was sick for 3 days. He picked someone that was out of it. Everyone knew. How could you live in Jerusalem? 38 years he's been there, carried back and forth to the pool as often as he might have gone. And here he is, and he's by the pool, and here's all of the other people that are there. That's a very, very public thing. And they all know this man. That's what's very important. God picked a man that was going to be well recognized among the Jewish people. It is a feast day. Feast day. And the many, many, many people are there to celebrate that. Purim, probably. It says a feast, not the feast. And you know the next month, as we shared last time, is Passover. So we know that. And they know the only thing before Passover is Purim. And so we did all that. Now, in the light of that, lots of people are there, very, very public, very, very public setting. And he is to bear witness. This man is to bear witness. And he goes to the temple. That's what he does. Probably the same day. He hasn't been in the temple like that. Never been like that. But he's going to the temple area, the temple. And you know, all the authorities are there. It's a big festive time. Wow. And so here they are. And he comes. And here he comes carrying his stretcher, carrying his bed. It's a Sabbath day. That's right. It's a Sabbath day. And he's coming there. And he is not, is he aware of the fact that it's a Sabbath? He's a Jew? No. He is that, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. No more than the nobleman that didn't care that here he's going to a fisherman, a carpenter. Dignitary going, bending down to the carpenter for hope and help. Wow. And this guy didn't care. He was so caught up with what happened to him, and he was God's instrument, and he's going to go, and he's carrying that bed, and he doesn't put it down. Now, so that's our setting. Over, if you would, please, John chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 10. The Jews, therefore, said unto him, now this is the main thrust. Why did you pick this guy? Why did you pick him, Lord? Here's all hundreds of people, maybe who knows how many, in that big, long area pool, 315 feet or so. Wow. And here they is. Wow. And he just goes to one person. One person. And the person responds. Now, in the process, God, why did you do this? You could have gone and spoken and healed everyone there, couldn't he? At other times he did, but not now. He lets them all sit, and they don't care. In fact, interesting, no one even recognizes him. They're all sitting there, and they aren't recognizing. Do you know who's in among us? And they didn't recognize him. The man didn't recognize him. Now, and the Jews therefore said unto him, verse 10, that was cured, healed, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. It's against the law to carry thy bed. It's not lawful, it is not permitted, it is not right for you to do so. It is not right for you to carry that bed. And thus, it's a Sabbath day, and it isn't lawful. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. That's the same, repeating the same words in the same way, a command. He told me to do so. Verse 12, then asked they him, they want to know, he gave him an answer, I'm just doing what I was told. Verse 12, then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? They weren't interested. Are you interested in how you're cured? You were, did anyone bring up to you that for 38 years you've been unable to walk, and all of a sudden you can walk? That ought to be an exciting thing. But it wasn't to them. Why not? Why aren't they excited about the main thing? No, they're caught. The same as our system's caught. And so, who told you to do this? Who told you to break the law? That's what they were interested in. Not his healing. Not the delight that he could walk. They wanted to know, not him. Not him. And God knew what was going to happen. Who told you to break the law? Now, picking up in again, who told you, and in verse 12, then asked they them, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And verse 13, he that was healed, wist, the word know, wist not, the man is not knowing, pluperfect, perfect, it does not know, he does not know, I don't know the man. All I know is a man told me, and I did just, that man was awesomely, he had some super wonderful authority, and I just had to do it, and I did. Verse 13, he that was healed wist knew not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, the crowd, he moved, he departed away. A multitude being in that place, lots and lots of people all laying around, waiting, and you just went to that man, he stood up, took up his bed, and you disappeared among that great multitude that were all there waiting for the pool, waiting for healing. Verse 14. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Now, I'm going to come back to that. I can't catch everything. I try to catch a little. I'm going to come back to that. Let me keep going now. He told them, and the man knew. God said, I know why you are been sick, crippled for 38 years. And you know why. And you know why. Now don't do it again. You know why. Now, verse 15. The man departed. The man, the Lord Jesus, introduced himself more officially. Verse 15, the man departed and told the Jews, he went and hunted down the Jews, the Jewish leaders, authorities, that it was Jesus who had made him whole. Therefore did the Jews, we already got a message, the man made me whole. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus. They persecuted him. They, as a fugitive, they treated him as a hostile pursuit. A hostile. Remember the word prosecute? The word persecute? A prosecuting attorney? Persecute? All the same package. To persecute, to prosecute. And thus, that's what they did. They proceeded. They continued to persecute him. Now, and they did so, verse 16, and they sought to slay him, to kill him. And they sought to do so. They sought to kill him, to slay him. And the reason, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now remember the Sabbath day of all of the law. Take a look at it. In a moment, of all of the law, and you read, here's all these things in the law, wow, in the Talmud, and you put all that stuff together, wow. So what can we do? We can't keep the law. No. But there is one thing we zealous Pharisees, Sadducees, one thing we can do. We can honor the Sabbath. On our terms, we're going to honor the Sabbath. It is a day set apart to signify where we have a unique relationship to God. And therefore, we can honor the Sabbath on our terms. We can do so. When you interfere, you could interfere with any other number of issues with the law. But when you fool with the Sabbath, you're treading on ground we can't afford to give up. Because we give up that Sabbath. We're in trouble. So they got to hang on to that. And thus it's very important to keep that Sabbath. It's ours now. So in the light of that, verse 16, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So here's the activity taking place. And it's on the Sabbath day, and they want to kill him. So, in the light of that, I would remind you, and verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh, and hitherto I work. He doesn't answer the Sabbath. He goes past the Sabbath. He didn't address the Sabbath. He went to where the Sabbath came from, and why it was there. I would like you to take a little trip backwards and understand what they should have understood, what he tried to help them understand. Now, over if you would please, in your Bible, over if you would to Exodus. No, Genesis. That's before Exodus. Genesis Chapter 2. Why not? In Genesis chapter 2, you remember, you know it, I'll pick it up in verse 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day, from all his work which he had made. And the word to cease, to desist, to stop something is the verb. to stop, rest. He rested. He stopped. He didn't just stop a minute like this. He stopped. Terminate. Stop. No more. He stopped. He rested from all his work. And verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Hang on to that now. God created and made all of that. And God created that, a whole universe with billions of galaxies, in what? So that he could put a little ball in the middle of it out there called Earth. And the whole Earth people could look and see the wonderment of God's, of the finite expression of the infinite God. Wow. He made the heavens and the earth. Now, and then he stopped. It was all finished. And he had us humans to enjoy the finished work. Sin came along, of course, and loused it all up. Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Aunt, may I go, please, directly? You'll pick up the, you want to get the flow of it, so you got it. Exodus 31, verse 13. Speak thou, and we're going to look at the same verb and everything, so you're all right. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbath, which means rest, it's a noun, ye shall keep. What for? It is a sign between me and you throughout all your generations. What for? That you may know that I am the Lord, and doth sanctify, set you apart, make you holy, make you a very special people. Verse 14. And you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, since it is a sign of our relationship, that you are very special. You can't, if you're going to fight for anything, you fight for the Sabbath. That's what makes it special. Special. Take the Sabbath away, what do you got? Thou shalt not kill? No. So verse 14. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be what? Put to death. Now, and remember now, back to our man, 38 years, carrying his bed on the Sabbath. What do you know? It's the penalty for such is death. Aren't you concerned, mister? You just got healed after 38 years that you're going to die. You're going to get stoned. He had not even a thought about it. Wow. Wonder what's going on. Wow. Over, if you would, please. Surely be put to death, for whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul should be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Verse 16, therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. For, verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested, and he was refreshed, to breathe again, to be refreshed, wow, after work. And thus, to take a breath. So now, in the light of that, Deuteronomy. So it's a sign, and Israel's to always do it. It's a unique relationship they have to God, and the sign of it is the day of rest on the Sabbath. And God rested. They needed to know that, because in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. He rested. Now, Israel, do you understand that he rested? You represent God. You represent the God who created the heavens and earth and rested on the seventh day. Over, if you would please, to Deuteronomy chapter 5. in Deuteronomy and chapter 5. Picking up, if I may, in verse 12 on the commandments. Chapter 5, verse 12, Deuteronomy. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify, set it apart. It is the Lord thy God, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Now, one of the things that you showed, you heard what God said, and you're going to honor it, is you can at least 6 days, on the seventh day, don't work. At least, you're going to give evidence. Why aren't you working? Because God said not to. You're going to give evidence to the world that God has something to say, and you've heard it. Chapter 5. But 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. Verse 14. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy maidservant, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of the cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that the manservant and the maidservant may rest as well as you, the servants may rest from serving. And in verse 15, and remember when he said that, the servants may rest, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land, a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. God, you were servants, slaves. So don't you ever forget that, what I did for you. I did something. You were servants and slaves, and I raised you up to be a prized treasure to me, a people above all people of the world, the nation by which I'm going to deal with the world. And when the Prince of Peace comes, peace is going to come to Israel and then to the world. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over to Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to move through history and let's see how they did. Jeremiah chapter 17. In Jeremiah chapter 17, picking up, please, in verse 20. And say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord. Remember now, Josiah, Nebuchadnezzar's coming down ultimately here to clobber Jerusalem. And say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that enter in by these gates. What are we going to hear? Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Remember, the man is carrying the burden. He's carrying a stretcher. That's a burden. Not to do that. In verse 22, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do any work but hallow, set apart, sacred, holy. Hallow ye the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. Honor the Sabbath. Show that you heard me. Don't do this. And of course, they what? The evidence. What are you looking for in the days of Jeremiah, Jerusalem, Judah, Nebuchadnezzar? You're looking for Israel to show some sense that they would honor God. Some sense that they would awaken to all of the movement by Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Habakkuk, to waken them. But no, there's no waking up. No waking up. The evidence would be, stop violating the Sabbath by carrying all these things and making it a day just like the other days. The Sabbath is no different. There's no sense of me. Do you remember back years ago when we had, not every place had it, we used to have what they call blue laws. Do you remember them? The blue laws. It was the Sabbath day. Massachusetts, Connecticut, etc. The Sabbath. And you would have a job if you needed a prescription to find a drugstore that was open. Gas stations closed. Everything closed. Wow! It's a Sabbath day. The blue laws. Ah, they had some sense. That why is it closed? Because it's Sunday. Why aren't you carrying burdens, and why aren't you honoring, not respecting by doing no work, carrying things? Why are you not doing that? Because, verse 23, but they obeyed not, they had no hearing and no heeding, no paying attention, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. They didn't want to fix it. So you understand why Nebuchadnezzar kept on coming. They had no intent in fixing anything. So now having said that, over to verse 24. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath, but hallow, set it apart, sacred day, the Sabbath day, to do no work therein. Verse 10. Then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes, sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the city shall remain forever. And the city is not going to go if you just don't do this. I got to tell you, they're past everything. You've already got cancer from head to toe, and the doctor says, if you just let me do this, I'll fix it. And you don't let him do it, it's too, the body, the person, the condition is so deep-rooted, so set. There's no way to fix anything, but God could do it. God could do it. Wonderfully so. That's so good. Wow. There's no one in the place that they're that bad off that God can't save you if you let him. You can harden your heart and you'll never get saved. You don't have to. Nothing says you have to get saved. But you could. And no matter how beyond help and hope you think you are, you're not. That's wonderful. Wow. Now, so, chapter 17, and if I may, verse 26, and they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the plain and from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, meat offerings and incense, and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. Verse 27. But if you will not hearken unto me to hallow, set apart, make holy the Sabbath day, honor it, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. I'm going to judge Jerusalem. I give you all I ask is you sow some sense of honoring me. Now, having said that, over to Nehemiah. Because after all, 70 years go by, captivity, etc. And we go to Nehemiah. And in chapter 13. And in chapter 13, Nehemiah, picking up the thought, verse 15. In those days saw I in Judah, Nehemiah 13:15. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses, that means they were working, on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves, working on the Sabbath, ladening asses to carry loads, burdens, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. That's what our Lord did. He turned the temple upside down. So what do? You made my house a house of merchandise. You made it a market. Chapter 13. If I can. Verse 16. There dwelt men of Tyre, also there commercial, unsaved merchants, people selling, which brought fish and all manner of ware and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and Jerusalem. Did you learn anything in the days of Nebuchadnezzar? No. And 70 years, and you're going to repeat the same stupid move that brought about your downfall. Verse 17. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that you do and profane, make common the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not your God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? That's why we're like we're where we're at. Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning and making common the Sabbath. Verse 19, and it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut. Lock them. Put guards on them. No one can get in. Don't let them in with their loads. They want to sell. They're all going to hang around outside waiting for the gate because you locked the gate. They're waiting to get in to sell their wares. Verse, middle of verse 19. And charged that they should not be open until after the Sabbath, and some of my servants set I at the gates, that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kinds were lodged without the gate once or twice. They're waiting, and if you keep reading, they're waiting to get in and hoping someone will open the gate so they can come in. And Nehemiah shut the gate, closed it down. Wow. Now, in the light of that, back over, if you would, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John and chapter 5. In the Gospel of John and chapter 5. Now remember now, they're going, and they are, it's the Sabbath day, and they're making a big to-do about this fellow carrying his stretcher, his bed. And it really isn't that man. And it really isn't that. They have a real problem with the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this, from now on, as the rest of his ministry before he's crucified, they're going to kill him. Every chance they get, they're going to try to kill him. Because of the Sabbath. They're going to try to kill him. They've got to stop him. What's he do? He keeps violating the Sabbath. Or does he violate it? That's the question. So now, in the light of that, I'll read verse 16. The Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now, what do we know about the Jews? Well, the Jews have, as they had the Talmud, you know, with the Mishnah and all that, and they developed the Jew and work, because Sabbath is the big thing. What do you know about Sabbath? It's work and rest. Work and rest. And now, what did they do? They designed wonderful things. They didn't pay attention to what God said, what we just read. They didn't do that. They just did what they did. And they did it. So in the process, they had hundreds and thousands of rules and regulations. Wow. And as you might want to look up, you can, there's 39 different classifications of work in the Mishnah. 39 principal classes of prohibited actions. And remember now, you can do everything. Don't do anything more than 40. So if you read Jewish stuff, You can't do more than 40. So whatever they did, they always cut less than 39, but not 41. Not 41. We don't do 41. You can't be over 40, etc. 40 years in the wilderness, etc. 40 days and nights. No 40. Can't be over 40. So we have 39 classifications. Now, what did they do? Well, they took and multiplied 39 times 39, which comes out to 1,521 new rules, new categories. 1,521 of them. How's that? But now in the process, for you to appreciate that a little bit, in the process, may I remind you, here's the 39 things, and they're going to go. And one of the things, just give you a sense of this massive amount of material that they went by. It would be like our gun laws. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of gun laws. But if you don't exercise them, what do we need to do? Make more of them. Don't exercise them, just make more of them. Now, in the process, they made lots of rules for work. And to get the idea of it, and to pick up the thought, if I may, in this expanded 15, 21, all that, here's a description quoting knots, K-N-O-T-S, knots. Knots shall not be tied or untied. If you untie a knot or tie a knot on the Sabbath, that's work. And you can't work on the Sabbath. We're resting. And therefore, in the description of knots, you got to have more information. You can't just say that. So a knot, quote, a knot that could not be untied with one hand. If you can untie the knot with one hand, you can do it on the Sabbath. But if it needs two hands, you can't do it. You break the law. I have knots in my shoes. And I try to think of tying them with one hand. And if you want a little exercise, and you do have laces, if you do have those things, try tying your bow, a shoe, with one hand. Try tying it. You wouldn't break the law if you did that, you see? Now, so in the process, they did not go, a man, another way to say this, to get some more if you want, a man was standing in the, if he carried a needle in his robe, on the Sabbath, he would break the law. You can't carry a needle. And they had hundreds of them. And you can just imagine that we would need a massive, if they just knew we had a government that would create hundreds of people to manage this work. And we'd have them all over the place to check everybody to see if they are carrying anything they shouldn't. We just have big, and they have, here's all this stuff. You can just imagine the work opportunities that would be given. So now, a needle on the Sabbath. Thus in the process, you don't want to do on another day, you don't want to do anything on the Sabbath that you should do on another day. It's a time of rest. And otherwise, you'll be guilty. So now, having said that, you don't want to be guilty. And are they going to honor? No. Are they going to honor the temple? No. They aren't honoring the temple. Are they going to go and honor the Lord Jesus Christ? No, they aren't going to honor him. They did not honor the sanctuary. Didn't honor that. They didn't really honor the Sabbath. All they did is have a program that gave them some comfort and encouragement that they had a religious practice that would give them something to identify them as being safer, surer than somebody else is. And that's a lousy way to go. Religion will never, never, never make it right. God makes it right. So I don't care what religion or what religious rituals you want to do. In fact, one of the things that we have to go, one of the things is that God is doing now. He's rebuking Judaism. Judaism had a system that left God out. Left God out of that. That's no good. Over with me, please. Over, if you would. Over to Mark. Mark, on your way. Mark chapter 7. Just want to hit a word for you very quickly. Mark chapter 7. And you'll notice, please, I'm going to go directly. Directly if I can. In verse 5. Mark 7, 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, what? Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? That's part of their system. Going down to verse 8. And laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, verse 9, full well you reject the commandment of God. What for? So that you can keep your own tradition, keep your own religion, your own diseased mind, to keep it. And God gives you the straight scoop. Now, over in closing, if you would please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. I hope you got a little bit. There's a whole lot, and I'm trying to break it up. It's a wonderful thing. Understand what they did. And they're going to get after him. Why? God put his finger right on the sorest spot, one of the sore spots of the Jews. And he said, you've got to get this fixed. The man, 38 years, was willing to get up. I told them, and he did. You aren't willing to do anything, and you got a problem worse than 38 years. You got a whole position in your head and heart and mind that leaves me out. Thus, God. And you know the purpose, don't you, of all of the different things, to say a little. On 6 days he created the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. God created it all for us humans to enjoy what he created. That's what he did for. Sin came along and loused it up for us and then the system. Because the snake that was a lovely snake and mice and snakes, and they were very friendly. But after that, they weren't so friendly. Now, so God, what do you want? I wanted you, Israel, to represent me. And you are a people that are going to honor me by observing my wonderful creativity, the reason I created, what I did create, how I created so that you would be able to experience and enjoy what I have made. I don't want you to work at it. You don't have to make the world better. You need to enjoy the world that I have made. And sin comes along and loused it up. But here we are, Israel, as it were. Why can't you just exercise your wonderful relationship to me, and I'll make it wonderful in every way, physically, materially, socially, educationally, politically. I'm going to make it wonderful for you. And you'll be a special, prized, privileged people. But they didn't do it. They just didn't do it. God, what have you done, account of sin, that makes it so lousy for us? You got Boston, you got all those things. And that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning out in the street. You don't know whether the next one will be in the ball field. or in the drugstore, you don't know. It's on the road now. And the rest of the countries of the world that are struggling through all this every day, we're going to awaken to, hey, maybe we are, maybe with their right, people that visit us from other countries, that you are, the Americans are ill prepared for anything that's out there. And we are. Wow. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that laden, and I will, all you that labor, hard work, all you that labor and are heavy laden, carrying loads, burdens, all you carry them, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, refreshment, a cease, a desisting. You remember when Christ died on the cross? He added another word that he had way back in Genesis 2. He said, it is what? Finished. I finished it. I want you to rest. Israel is not yet unsaved or not, but you represent the person of Jesus Christ. And thus, he is the one who rested on the seventh day. He is the one who redeemed, died on the cross in his wonderful redemptive work. And he rested because it was finished. There's nothing else to do except to enjoy, experience being saved. The gospel. Enjoy being saved. The gospel. Is there a lot of that out there? And we're, as a general statement, we are no better than the Jews. We have wonderful, wonderful rest. And God, and by the way, Hebrews 4, etc., we're held accountable for not entering into that rest. Are we not? We're accountable. God said, why didn't you do that? All because we wanted to be like everybody else. And thus, why not? Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Get your learning from me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. And there's the same word, a little different, noun, verb. You shall find rest unto your souls. A rest inside your heart. Your body, weary, everything's out there, the same old world. But in your heart, you're resting in the wonderful saving grace of God. And no matter how terrible your health, your wealth, the country, the world, you are able to be in the middle of, in the midst of it, resting, learning. Take my yoke upon you. I'm on one side. Remember the yoke? I'm on one side and you're on the other. Learn of me. Don't try to tell the yoke. Don't try to branch off and do what you want to do because you're yoked. And it'll hurt your neck. What to do is honor me. Follow me. Follow me. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. God, you're there. I want to stay with you, God, to enjoy the finished saving grace, your purposeful creative work, your awesome redemptive work. I want to be a trophy of that for the world to see. You got it? Our Father in God, we thank you for your grace and mercy and kindness. God, help us in our ignorance and all of it. And our Father will thank you very, very much in Christ's name. And for those who know not as you, as your Lord and Savior, as for you as Lord and Savior, God, deal with their hearts, Spirit of God, that they might be convicted, convinced. There is none other. There is no other apart from you that is able to save a soul like us, like we have. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.